first reading is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and that can be found in the Church Bible on page 5. Now, the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Well, the woman said to the snake, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the snake said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God. And they hid from him among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Then the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." And turn with me to our second reading, found on page 1225 in the Church Bible, and it's the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all.
A particular warm welcome to you if you're new to City and checking us out this morning. It's really great to have you here. My name is Jonathan, and I'm one of the pastors alongside Neil, Hugh and Craig. You've picked a great week to join us as we're starting a five-week series called Battles We All Face. This sermon series is a recognition that whether you're someone who calls yourself a Christian or not, we all face battles in life such as loneliness or depression or disappointment. And those battles can be personal battles or battles that the people that we love face themselves. If you're new to City, it's worth knowing that we normally take one Bible book and we preach through it beginning to end. But from time to time, we find it useful to look at the Bible topically like this series. So as we begin, let's pray for God's help to listen to him and understand what he said. Heavenly Father, as we begin the sermon series on battles we all face, please would you give us attentive ears to what you have to say. We ask that your word would convict us, comfort us and encourage us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It might seem strange to have a sermon about loneliness slap bang in the middle of the summer. The weather is, or actually was, great. People are on their holidays. To quote Ella Fitzgerald, "Summertime and the living is easy." And yet, if you think about it, it's an appropriate time to have a sermon on loneliness, because summer can be quite a lonely time. Summer is a time when friends you normally hang out with can be away on holiday for a long period of time, leaving you home alone. Teachers, nurses, doctors, as well as graduates, are relocating in July and August to start new jobs. If that's you, then we're really glad you're here. It can be an exciting time, But it also can be a lonely time as you find yourself alone in a new city, not knowing anyone. From a church perspective, the beginning of the school summer holidays back in July is when our midweek small groups take a break, and many people miss that weekly meetup with other Christians to read the Bible and pray. For those of you who are new, we are a church of small groups, which means if you want to really connect and belong to City Church, then the best way of doing that is by joining a small group. Summer can be a lonely time. But loneliness isn't limited to summer. It seems that loneliness is an unwelcome part of living in 21st century Britain. According to a UK government report in 2017, more than 9 million British people often or always feel lonely. That's one out of every seven people. It said that 1 million older people haven't spoken to someone in the last month. That's 1 million older people haven't spoken to someone in the last month. That's crazy, isn't it? Then there's this woman. Does anyone know who this woman is and what she does? No? Well, her name is Tracy Crouch, MP, and in January 2018, Theresa May appointed her as the Minister for Loneliness. American journalist Norman Cousin said, "The eternal quest of the individual human being is to shatter his or her loneliness." Now, for some of you here this morning, loneliness is a battle you face right now, and you're wondering if it will ever change. For others of you, loneliness has never perhaps been a real struggle. However, some of the people you love are lonely, and you want to support them. Also, we need to recognise that life circumstances can change dramatically. Your spouse could pass away, you could lose your job, and you might be plunged into loneliness. And what we're going to do, we're going to open the Bible and see what God has to say on this issue of loneliness. And it'll be helpful for Christians, but also if you're looking from the outside into Christianity, it'll help you to understand the Christian worldview when it comes to loneliness. And you may hear something that piques your interest, and you might want to investigate that further. So as we open the Bible, we'll discover why loneliness exists, what causes it, what God has done and plans to do about it. So first, human beings were designed to be relational. As you open up the Bible, you soon discover that the God of the Bible is a relational God. The Bible tells us there is one God, but he is in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so for eternity, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have enjoyed a close relationship with each other. They've been in relationship. It's not as if God has been on his own for all eternity. He's been enjoying a relationship between the three persons of the Trinity. And when God created humanity, we read in Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Being made in God's image means many things. Primarily, it means to copy and to mirror his work of ruling and reigning over the earth. But one of those likenesses, maybe a minor thing, is that human beings, like God, are relational. And we see this relational need in Genesis chapter 2. God created Adam and commissioned him to fill and subdue the earth, but God recognized that Adam couldn't do this alone. The Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So God created Eve. Now, a common mistake is to read Genesis 2:18 and think Adam was lonely. But there is a difference between aloneness and loneliness. Aloneness existed in the good world before the fall of mankind, but loneliness did not. God created Eve not because Adam was lonely, but because Adam couldn't fulfill God's commission of filling the earth and subduing it alone. Adam needed Eve, and Eve needed Adam. And the very beginning of the Bible tells us that God designed humans in his image to be relational beings. We need each other. And one implication from this is that as human beings, we do need other human beings. Now, of course, there's a spectrum of people. At one end, there are people who long to be around others all the time. Otherwise, they do feel lonely. And on the other end of the scale, there are people who are people who enjoy their own company. But there is no human being that can survive and thrive cut off from all human beings. That's not how we were designed and made. We weren't designed to be hermits. Needing other people isn't a flaw or a weakness. It's how God designed us. So second, loneliness is primarily an internal spiritual problem. We need to take this on board because the vast majority of us see loneliness as an external problem which requires external solutions. What I mean by this is that we get lonely and we think the answers are, well, I'm going to go and make some friends, or I've got to go and get married, or I need to get some better friends who just really understand me. But experiencing loneliness isn't primarily an external problem requiring an external solution. Of course, external factors can contribute to loneliness, but they are not the root cause. Rather, the Bible says that loneliness is primarily an internal spiritual problem. And that's the lesson we learn from Genesis 3. Loneliness didn't exist in the world of Genesis 1 and 2. But then in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And if you're new to church and Christianity, the jargon word for this event is called the fall, because humanity fell from a high and exalted position and were catastrophically damaged when they hit the ground. We read about the fall in our first reading this morning from Genesis 3. Satan, in the form of a snake, deceived Adam and Eve into eating from the tree God had commanded them not to eat from. And it was at this point that humanity fell and sin entered the world, damaging our relationships. Most significantly, our relationship with God was severed. Genesis 3 verse 8 is a heartbreaking verse. Just read it in the light of thinking, before this, Adam and Eve were able to walk with God in the cool of the day. What a privilege. But now Genesis 3 verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And instead of running to God, they ran away from him because of their sin. You know, you run towards a friend, but you hide from an enemy. And that is what Adam and Eve had become, God's enemies. And as a result, God banished Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and drove them out eastwards, away from the garden. And so sin is the root cause of loneliness. That's the reason we are alienated from our Maker. We don't start out life as friends with God. We start out life as enemies of God. But the fall also led to alienation between human beings. So have a look at Genesis 3 verse 16. To the woman, God said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labour you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To put it another way, the last sentence of Genesis 3:16 means, you will desire to manipulate your husband, but he will dominate you. The fall shattered the harmonious relationships that Adam and Eve enjoyed, and sin separated them from each other. And that led to horizontal loneliness. Primarily, sin led to vertical loneliness, cut off from God. But it also leads to horizontal loneliness, cut off and isolated from other human beings. And we need to take all this on board, that our loneliness is primarily an internal spiritual problem, because by default, we think it's an external problem with external solutions. If you're lonely at the moment, then perhaps your first thought is to invest in finding and making new friends. And that is a good desire, and we need to put it in its right place. But if we place it first in order of our priorities, then we'll try and fill the loneliness hole with friends, and we'll discover they don't fill it. Perhaps you're not feeling lonely, but you have single friends who do feel lonely. If your first reaction, maybe internally you never say this to them, but if your first reaction is to your friends, well, you know, we need to find them a spouse, then you haven't quite grasped that loneliness is primarily a spiritual problem. Once again, getting married is a good thing, but it doesn't tackle the root of loneliness. In fact, our culture around us idolizes marriage and says it is the solution to our loneliness. Our church subculture also unhelpfully elevates marriage. So it's worth me repeating the words of someone from City. This person is married, so it's not coming from me, a single guy. This is what this person says. When you're single, you think marriage will solve your loneliness. But when you get married, you find you've married someone who's annoying, and they find you annoying. So loneliness still exists. But the rest of the church thinks, well, you know, they're married. They can't be struggling with loneliness. But you are. And so loneliness is primarily an internal spiritual problem. Third, Jesus is the answer to our loneliness. Because loneliness is primarily an internal spiritual problem caused by sin, now we need an internal spiritual solution. As I've already said, the root cause of our loneliness is our alienation from God. We're made to live in a relationship with God, and yet our sin has alienated from him. God the Father could have left us in the mess we got ourselves into, but he didn't, because he's a gracious and compassionate God. He sent the most precious person he had so that we could be reconciled back to him. He sent his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he lived his 33 years, Jesus experienced loneliness. This is what Isaiah has to say as a prediction about the kind of life that Jesus led. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. And this loneliness was not due to his own sin, because he was sinless. Rather, it was due to the sin of others as they encountered this perfect human being and they persecuted him and they despised him. If you are experiencing loneliness as a Christian at the moment, then I really hope this is encouragement. Jesus knows exactly what it feels like, because he has felt that loneliness too. Jesus knows you are lonely, and he cares. He really does care. But more than that, Jesus knows exactly what kind of comfort to bring you in your time of loneliness, because he's been there and experienced him himself. Isn't that great news? You don't have to explain how you're feeling to Jesus, because Jesus gets it already. He knows it, he's felt it, and he longs to care for you. But that's not all Jesus does. As one Christian author reminded me, Jesus doesn't just understand your loneliness, he's destroying it. When Jesus died on the cross, God placed onto Jesus the sin of the whole world, and that led to Jesus being separated and alienated from God for the very first time ever. Jesus was utterly forsaken, so much so that on the cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was utterly forsaken by God, so that we never have to be. Jesus stood in our place and took the punishment our sins deserve, so that we can be reconciled to God. If we trust in Jesus, then our sin is dealt with and we're changed from God's enemies into God's family. Jesus' death on the cross not only takes away the sin that alienates us from God, it also begins to take away the sin that alienates us from other people. That's why we had that second reading in 1 John chapter 1. And this is what verse 7 says. If we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that loneliness disappears for Christians. Sin still remains in Christians and the world, and that means loneliness still remains. But God has committed that this situation will not go on forever. He has a date in his diary when he'll call an end to history and recreate this world into the new heavens and the new earth. And the root of loneliness, i.e. sin, will be removed. And with the root gone, this will lead to the weeds of loneliness dying forever. And perhaps you're someone who is really struggling with loneliness at the moment. If that is the case, then can I encourage you to lift your eyes from the now to the not yet. And to remind yourself that it will not always be this way. One day in the new heavens and the new earth, the pain of loneliness will only be like a half-remembered dream, as we just enjoy an unhindered relationship, God our Father and other Christians. To paraphrase another Christian, this is what he says: Child of God, your loneliness is passing away. The day is nearing when it will be no more. And the fading loneliness you still feel, Jesus understands. Jesus is the answer to our loneliness. Fourthly, the church helps to fight loneliness. If as Christians we know God will bring an end to loneliness in the new heavens and the new earth, then this will give us the motivation to endure it in the present. But is that it? Do I just have to suck it up for the here and now and wait? Does the gospel only give me hope for the future? Well, it's true to say that we can't eradicate loneliness completely. Loneliness will not disappear until sin is finally and fully removed. And yet our Heavenly Father wants to minimise the impact of loneliness as much as possible in the here and now. And the primary way he does that is by placing Christians into local family gatherings called churches. And if you're a Christian, that as you look around at the people this morning, you're looking at your spiritual family. And the local church will never eradicate loneliness, but it can help minimise it. And the challenge for us as a city is to grow in loving each other as a family. And I hear amazing stories of people at City welcoming single people into their families, going on holiday together, drawing alongside people when they're having a hard time, sharing food together. Let's keep on doing these things, but do them more and more. Perhaps on a Sunday you can be on the lookout for people who are new. Instead of going and talking to your friends and the people you know, why not go say a quick prayer and then go across and say hello to that person. Take a step out, because actually coming to church on your own can be quite a lonely experience and daunting as well. If you are looking into Christianity, then what do you make of the community here at City? What do you think is the reason that a group of very different people love each other and care for each other? If you asked us, then we'd want to say that Jesus is the reason for our community. The fact that we have very different ages, races, nationalities, social classes. And Jesus is the reason why we are bound together, because his death on the cross and our trusting in him has made us family. If you're a Christian and new to City Church, then attending services will only get you so far. If you want to connect and belong, then the best way of doing that is through our small groups. And small groups are one of the main ways in which deep relationships are formed. Our small groups are taking a break for the moment. They're going to restart in September. But each week during term time, they meet and read the Bible and pray together. And there are three options of small groups for you. So first, if you're a student, then there is Student Plus. Second, if you're not a student, then there's Home Group, which meets either on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And then third, in September, we're starting a new small group on a Wednesday called 20s and 30s. If you're new and in your 20s or 30s, then you have a choice between Home Group or 20s and 30s. And if you want more information about 20s and 30s, then please pick up a flyer on the table over there by the post box. Of course, our small groups aren't perfect. At times they can be great, and at times they can be frustrating. Let's be honest about that. They can be frustrating, and that's the same for churches all across the city. You're never going to find a completely perfect small group. But some things in life that are worth having don't come easily and quickly. Building community takes time and can be hard work, but it's worth it. If you want to sign up for a small group, then the next step is to fill out the contact card and tick, I want to join a small group, and someone will be in touch with you. So as we close, why does loneliness exist? Well, loneliness exists because sin separates us from God and from each other. What is the answer to loneliness? Well, it's the sin-bearing death of Jesus as he changes us from God's enemies into God's family. And Jesus is committed to one day destroying loneliness forever. So let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word on this issue of loneliness. We're sorry that our sin has separated us from you and is the root cause of our loneliness. Thank you that you didn't leave us in the mess that we created, but you sent Jesus to deal with our sin and loneliness problem. Please would you help us look forward to the new heavens and the new earth when loneliness will just be a distant memory. In the meantime, would you help us as a church to be family together and to do that better and to do that more and more. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.